Good morning. We also want to welcome you to the worship service this morning. By request of our brother, we will be looking or reading from Luke chapter 2, a continuation of the Sunday school lesson from verses 21 to 33. Luke 2, 21 to 33. And while you're looking that up, I just share with you an additional prayer request. I talked to an individual yesterday who found a good friend of his under the wheel of a truck on Friday afternoon. I knew the man. He died through that incident. Grew up as a neighbor to us. He would actually be a son of Brother Merle Bevenar's niece. Matt Stamball is his name. Remember Matt, Matt's family. I think he has a couple young children. 46 years old. In talking with the individual that found him, I assured him that the most important thing is to be ready for that moment, to which he agreed. I'm not sure where he stands spiritually, but it was interesting. He used some rough language before I mentioned that, and after that I didn't hear him say anything vulgar after that. Age makes no difference. Read from Luke 2, 21 to 33. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Let's bow before him in prayer.
Well, thank you for praying for me this morning, Brother Larry, for his prayer. Our title of the message this morning is, What Kind of Man is This Jesus? A lady had a circle of friends for whom she really wanted to buy Christmas presents. Time slipped away and it was so busy at work for her, she just wasn't able to get to the store to purchase the gifts. Time was running out. So not too many days before Christmas, she decided to give up on the gift idea and just buy everybody the same beautiful Christmas card. She went to the local gift store and hurriedly went through the now picked over stack of cards and found a box of 50, just exactly what she wanted. She didn't take time to read the message. She just noticed a beautiful cover on it, and there was gold around it and a floral appearance on the front of the card, and she thought, that's perfect. So she signed all of them with all my love. And as New Year's came and she had time to go back to the 2 or 3 cards she didn't send from the stack, she was shocked to read the message inside. It said in a little rhyme, this Christmas card is just to say a little gift is on the way. Now that story is a reminder to us to make sure now we look closely at the cards we send to others. You know, the Christmas season has been called the season to be looking. Think about it. We look for cards to send to others. We look for cards in our mailboxes or to be given to us. We look for gifts to buy, perhaps that perfect gift, so to speak. We look at Christmas lights. We look for snow to have a white Christmas. Well, I think we might make it this year. Of course, if we lived in New York, there wouldn't be any question, would it? At least parts of New York. We look for the Christmas cookie recipes. Wonder where we put it from last year or something. I don't know. My wife didn't do that, but maybe you have. We look at nativity scenes. We look at Christmas plays and programs. We do a lot of looking at Christmas time. But at the first Christmas, there were those looking too. Joseph looked for a place to stay for him and his wife, and who would soon deliver a very special baby. Angels were looking for shepherds to declare the good news of a Savior's birth. Shepherds went looking for this special baby. Magi, or the wise men, were looking for a star and for a king. And Simeon, here in our text this morning, was looking for the Christ, the Messiah. And when he saw him, Simeon said in verse 30, and I'll reread that, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." What Simeon saw was his eyes have seen the salvation of God. And as we look at Jesus, the one whom Christmas is about, who do we see and what do we see? And I know, even as believers, perhaps we overlook some things, or at least we maybe not trying to, but subtly it can happen. And so I think somewhere along the line this morning we'll find ourselves in at least one of these places. But what are your impressions of this Jesus? And for anybody that's here or anybody that's viewing that doesn't know the Jesus of Christmas, please pay close attention this morning. What are your impressions of the babe born in Bethlehem? How do we view him? This baby Jesus, he grew up to be a man. He gave his life on a cross and was resurrected from the grave. And that's been touched on this morning, and it should be. That's the message of Christmas. And what is he to us, though? Do we truly see him for who he is? And what does Jesus mean to our lives? It's the season to be looking. What do we see in Jesus? And what kind of man is this Jesus? So first of all, we want to consider, when we see Jesus, do we see a Savior? In Matthew 1, 20 and 21, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him that this was a special baby that Mary was carrying. It was an act of God. And the child was going to be a boy. It was a son, the Son of God, and becoming flesh. And God also had a specific name picked out for this baby. And verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." God wanted this baby named Jesus for a reason, because the name means Savior, one who saves his people from their sins. The baby named Jesus would grow up to be a man and offer himself as the perfect, sinless sacrifice on a cross to pay for the sins of every person who ever lived and every person who will live. His name, Jesus, tells us why he came, what his purpose was, and why there was a first Christmas. A Savior would be born. Jesus is the Savior to all who will accept his sacrifice for sin on their behalf. That's the meaning of Christmas, brothers and sisters. I can't say it any plainer than that. It's about a Savior. We sung about him. And I don't know if you nearly came out of your shoes, but we should when we're talking about hallelujah, what a Savior. Because that's who he is. He is that precious and that awesome and that amazing. But you know, all the details of the Christmas story help make it unique. They have significance. All are important. The angels, Joseph and Mary, the shepherds, the magi, the star. Some of you, I'm sure, are aware what's happening or supposed to happen tomorrow. The planets Jupiter and Saturn will align in the night sky as close as they ever align. I think it's the closest they've been in 400 years. And it's the first time in 800 years that they'll be able to be viewed because it's happening at night. So it is quite an occasion that's happening tomorrow. It's called a conjunction when these two planets appear incredibly close. I think it's within a tenth of a degree from the way we view it. It looks that close. Obviously, they're still very far apart. But it's quite an occurrence, and you should be able to see that in the southwest sky and soon after sunset, and it'll be a bright light, or I guess they're not quite certain. Well, who would be? We haven't seen it in 800 years. But, they're not certain if it's one light or if you'll see both planets. I think some think you'll see both. But at any rate, they also call that the Christmas star. Now, at least they're acknowledging there was a Christmas star. I'll give them that. But take that for what it is. But you may want to look for that tomorrow evening. And I think it'll be there a few more days, but I think tomorrow's the closest. But at any rate, you may want to check that out. But all the details of Christmas have significance. No matter how you look at it, and we can draw lessons from different avenues of the Christmas story, and it's all important. But if we miss that Jesus was born to be the Savior, then we miss Christmas. We miss Christmas. God's Son came as a baby, this Jesus, to grow up and die for our sins. No sin of His own, so we can be forgiven of all our sins. He's the Savior. The only way anyone can be saved, the only way to have a right standing before God, is through Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's the only way of salvation. Simeon knew it. He said to God when seeing Jesus, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He knew this was the only salvation, the only way. Well, the name Jesus in the Hebrew goes back to the word Yeshua. I hope I said that right, Brother George. He can correct me if I didn't. But which means Yahweh saves, or God saves. And notice Jesus' name doesn't mean that Dwayne saves, or it doesn't put your name in that you save. It doesn't mean Pleasant Hill Church saves. Someone has said Jesus didn't come in the world to help us save ourselves. He came to save us from ourselves. That's correct. We need it. We need that. God saves, not Muhammad, not any other religion, not any person can save another or themselves, but God saves. We needed a Savior, and before we even knew it, because of Christmas, God gave us a Savior. Christmas is God reaching out to us with the message that He loves us, He wants to save us, because Jesus is the Savior. I want you to listen to the message of these words. It considers the perspective of three men in Scripture, Barabbas and Thomas and Peter, concerning Jesus the Savior and what a Savior He is. And we might just find ourselves in each of these men, but listen as they imagining that they would say this, but put yourself or consider where you might be in this. It goes like this: "I am Barabbas, a rebel, a prisoner. Death was the sentence for me. Led before Pilate, I stood there beside him. This man, some were calling a king. And as the crowd shouted, 'Crucify him,' the soldiers let me go free. What kind of man, guilty of nothing, would suffer the shame and disgrace, hang on a cross, despised and rejected, and willing to die in my place at Calvary for someone like me? My name is Thomas. For 3 years I followed. I saw every wonder and sign. They say he has risen, that his grave is empty. but I just can't believe he's alive. Now standing before me, Jesus shows me the scars in his hands and his side. What kind of man embraces a doubter, lovingly drawing me near? I don't have to wonder if I've been accepted. He settled the worry and fear at Calvary for someone like me. My name is Peter. I knew him and loved him, but oh, how I failed him that night. I promised Jesus that I'd never leave him. I'd willingly lay down my life. But there at his trial, I stood by the fire. I denied him 3 times. What kind of man pours out his mercy on someone who stumbles and falls? With no way to earn it, no way to deserve it, forgiveness still came after all at Calvary for someone like me. I've been Barabbas, the guilty set free. And I have been Thomas, the doubter redeemed. And I have been Peter. I've been all 3. What kind of man bleeds for the worthless and saves him, whatever it takes? What kind of man would receive the sinner or rescue the sinner and offer amazing grace at Calvary for someone like me? You know, the essence of Christmas was that there was going to be a Calvary event because Jesus, this baby, would grow up to be the Savior. Do we see Jesus as the Savior this morning? Secondly, when we see Jesus, do we see God? Well, the fact that Jesus' name means Yahweh saves or God saves, Jesus and God are one. Jesus is God and he saves because he is God. He's the only one that can save. Hebrews 1:3 says this, God who at sundry, or one, let me start at verse 1. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being, and this is speaking of Jesus, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had him by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. An express image, Jesus was an express image of the Heavenly Father, of God himself. Christ, it means an exact representation of God's nature. Christ Jesus reflects the nature of God, his attributes, his person. He was God in human flesh. That's why Jesus said in John 14:9, he that has seen me has seen who? The Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? No wonder he spake like no other man. No wonder the wind obeyed his voice. No wonder he walked on water. No wonder he fed so many with so little. No wonder he healed and had authority over death. No wonder he could forgive and not condemn, because he was God. He is God. I like this thought. Someone said this, that God took on our face in the hope that we would see his. Meaning, see the representation, the express representation of God the Father. What Scripture tells us about Jesus is what God is like. And I wonder sometimes if we don't lose that connection. We see Jesus a little differently maybe than what God is like, but what Scripture tells us about Jesus is what God is like. It's important, I believe, to see Jesus as God. One of the reasons is it affects how we view God. The love and compassion of Jesus is the love and compassion of God. The mercy and forgiveness that Jesus extends is the mercy and forgiveness of God extended. Do we see God in the same way that we see Jesus? Do we see Jesus as God's love for us? A direct gift of himself. Look and see that Jesus is God. What kind of man is this Jesus of Christmas? He's a Savior. He's God. And thirdly, do we see Jesus as the one to be worshiped? Do we see Jesus as King? The Magi did. Matthew 2:2, they came to Herod and saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." To worship him. The wise men had a heart desire to worship Jesus, and they would go on to do so. But Herod had a different response. When he heard the wise men inquiring about a king of the Jews that had been born and that they wanted to worship, verse 3 of Matthew 2 says he was troubled. He was troubled. Why? Because he was king. Who's this that they're calling king? I'm king. And in his pride, he thought that Jesus was a threat to his kingdom. Verse 8 of Matthew 2 tells us that Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem to find the child. Once they found him, they were to bring back word to Herod so he could worship the child, Jesus as well. But Herod had no intention of worshiping Jesus. No intention. He acted like he wanted to worship Jesus. Kind of can hit home a little bit, can it? He acted like he wanted to worship Jesus, but in his heart, he was far from worshiping. We could say that Herod demonstrated a false or an insincere worship. And in reality, Herod worshiped himself. Worshiped himself. How do we see this Jesus of Christmas? Is he our King? Worthy of all worship? Or is he a threat to our kingdom? To my kingdom? Because we're stuck on being our own kings. We don't like to admit that too often, do we? You know, in this life, well, let me just back up and say that Luke 2:11, Jesus is called Christ the Lord. Is he our Lord? We say King, Lord, kind of can be used the same. Well, that means that he has to be in control of our lives, not we ourselves. Kind of hard to relinquish that because we like to be kings. But in this life, names can carry influence and power. They can have more meaning than others. If I had a signed personal letter from President Trump, I don't mean a stamp, I mean an actual signature, it likely would not be just tossed into a drawer. You know, about 30 years ago, we had the opportunity to, Carol and I and a couple of our children at the time, had the opportunity to go to the church in Georgia where former President Carter went. He was there that morning. I can still picture him sitting across the aisle in the pew, not far from where I was sitting. We sat in a Sunday school class, and he was the teacher. And after church, we were able to stand right next to him and get our picture taken. You know, it was kind of a big deal. Why? You know, I'm not expecting anybody to want to get their picture taken with me after church this morning. The difference is the name and the position. The position that one has held. And it's not every day we get to stand next to a president of our country. There's coming a day when only one name's going to matter. One name. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue or every language should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His is the only name that's going to matter at that time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. If you've ever heard that song, it's those words, it's sung like in a reverence and in awe of the name of Jesus. Those who choose to worship Jesus now will gladly worship him then. But those who choose not to worship Jesus now will grievously worship him then, as they face eternity without Jesus. Things that seem to matter now, names, money, material things, jobs, work, hobbies, entertainment, will have no benefit, but Jesus will be worshiped. He will be worshiped. Do we see the Jesus of Christmas as Savior, as God, as one to be worshiped, and as Lord and King? Well, fourthly, do we see Jesus as a person? Yes, it's very important to see Jesus as Savior. The meaning of Christmas, we can't miss that. Jesus is God, it's so important. And Jesus is the one to be worshipped. But it's also, I believe, important to see Jesus as a person. Meaning that he was here and he lived a life in this world. He knows what it's like to be human. He understands what it is like to be us. I think we forget that sometimes. He understands our frailties. He experienced all that we do, all but the sin. Well, he experienced the sin being put on him. He didn't sin, but he experienced a far heavier weight than we ever could imagine. He didn't have any of his own sin. I mean, we may think, well, then he doesn't know what it's like to fall to temptation. Well, thank God he doesn't. Hallelujah. Because he wouldn't be our Savior. Yet he still understands sin more than we do. That's why he hates it so much. It's such an offense to him. He knows how it hurts, how it destroys, how it tears apart, what it does to people's lives, to our lives. Because Jesus was a person and lived here, he understands our joys, our hurts, our sorrows, our broken hearts, our shattered dreams. Some of us have experienced those. He understands them. The burdens that we carry and all that's going on in our lives. Not only that, but as a person, Jesus lived his life relating to people. You think, well, you don't know who I got to relate to. If you had to deal with this person day after day, oh, yes, Jesus understands. He related to people. You think he didn't have some tough experiences with them Pharisees, Sadducees and the scribes and those who hated him? His life relating to people shows us how we should as well. Do we see this Jesus? How he embraced those whom others tossed aside. How quick are we to toss aside people at times? How he could fix what seemed unfixable. That he loved all. He loved all. I know Jesus would say if he was here in person, he'd say today that all lives matter. Every life. Doesn't matter on the skin color. Every size of life. Every little one. Every older one. Carol and Cindy's father is very near passing at this time. In fact, we're expecting it any moment. But I'm telling you this morning that God still cares about that life. He loved all, not just the ones who fit in. I wonder if we're guilty of that sometimes. You don't fit into my little box. Not sure I can love you. He never excused sin, but he sure did love the sinner. Do we see this Jesus of Christmas? What kind of man is the Jesus of Christmas? He's a Savior. He's God. He's the King worthy of all worship. He's a person who lived and understands us. And then fifthly, last, do we see Jesus as our hope? On that first Christmas, hope was born. Hope was born. Hope for anyone who will invite this Jesus to come into their heart, to allow God's love to change them, to make a difference in their lives. It's a hope that's unlike anything this world has to offer, because it's the promise of sins forgiven, God's providential care, and his faithfulness to his word. It's the promise of his return, and a place prepared in heaven with him for all eternity. There's no other hope like that. It's in this Jesus that our real, true hope lies. Where are you placing yours this morning? Where am I placing mine? He wants to be my hope and your hope. Invite him to come in. There in the hay, Mary laid you. And Joseph kept you warm. You just arrived, and with your first cry, you fit right into their arms. And just like you did in the stable, come do it all again. There's room for you. Lord, you're invited in. Come make a place. The shape of your love alone. Come make a place. Come make my heart your home. Jesus, I'm empty without you, and you're everything I need. So come with your grace. Come make a place in me. I wasn't there at the manger the night you came to earth. Angels appeared, but I didn't hear the words that announced your birth. Just like the shepherds came searching, and wise men came to see, I come to you, trusting that you'll come to me. Come make a place, the shape of your love alone. Come make a place. Come make my heart your home. Jesus, I'm empty without you. There's no meaning. It's only the here and now. It doesn't last. I'm empty without you, and you're everything I need. So come with your grace. Come make a place in me. If that's not your state this morning, ask him to come. He's waiting. He wants to make a place in each of us. What kind of man is this Jesus? He's the Savior. He's God, he's King, worthy of all worship, he's Lord, he's a person who lived here and understands us, and he's our only hope. That is the Jesus of Christmas.